Nathan's at 6-3. Do your expectations at all, have they changed since the start of the year?
No, not at all. No, we've been really consistent with the way we've gone about our preparation. We've done some things well, and we've done some things. You know, there's been some areas of our game that we want to improve, but no, the wins and losses will continue to add up as the season goes by. But there's still elements of our game that we'd like to grow and evolve, and we'll continue to put that work in.
We know you were in the same position last year. You got to 8-3. Do you feel it's more sustainable this year?
That's proof will be in the pudding, I suppose. But in the end, any comparison to last year there's 12 months in between all of that. So I'll go again, mate.
Sorry,
you're right. You're right, mate.
Thanks, mate. That'd be freaking awesome.
Probably shouldn't get any vision of this then, either, should we? How do you reckon we're looking this year, mate?
Sorry, I'll try that.
All right, all good. Is that working for you?
Yeah, mate, that's magic.
Which, that seven's going to slide away, mate. That was 12 months ago. So we're comparing. We've had some list changes, but we've had a lot of growth, a lot of development in that time. So is it more sustainable for us? Well, we'd certainly hope so. We can't go back and change the second half of the year last year. And focusing on that isn't actually going to get us to where we want to get to, because we'd be looking back. We don't need to look any further than our last performance to see that our best footy's pretty good, and that when we don't bring that we're vulnerable. And there's not many teams in the competition that wouldn't be in that position. So we're just going to keep getting better, session by session, opponent by opponent, and see where that takes us.
You talked a couple of weeks ago about momentum shifts in games. What do you make of the difference between your best and your worst, highlighted, I guess, in the halves on Saturday?
Yeah, well, God. I mean, in review, looking at midway through the second quarter, I thought our tackle intensity and our effectiveness was actually not too bad. When we actually got to the contest, we stuck tackles really well on the weekend, which 2 weeks earlier against Geelong was a poor part of our game. So through that last part of the second quarter, our tackle intensity was probably the thing that we were going to build off for the rest of the game. So coming in at halftime, we weren't without hope. We weren't without things that we could take from that first half to say, well, if we do more of this, we'll be okay, and just pick up these other elements of our game. We're not the only club that are feeling those momentum changes and the ability to be able to take advantage of it when you've got it and hold up when you haven't. I think it's modern footy, and if you can turn 10-minute periods where you don't have the momentum into potentially 2 or 3 goal deficits rather than 5, 6 or 7s, then I think you're going to be in good shape. I mean, North didn't take full toll through the first quarter, or even through the first half, to be honest, even though they kicked a goal with 2 seconds to go in the first quarter and 20 seconds to go in the second quarter. We could have looked even better on the scoreboard given North's dominance, but it's something that we'll keep looking at. But we want to be the aggressors and the dictators of momentum, not the people that are reacting to it.
Their defensive structures, North, were highlighted in some of the shows last night. Bucks, were you surprised? I guess they, for want of better word, might have failed in the second half. Were you surprised we're so open in your forward line?
They invariably had an extra number back. It's just that we used the ball better at the source and made better decisions going forward. We found another leg. There was our intensity improved, and our spread improved. That was the biggest difference for us between the first and second half. We got more numbers to where the ball was. I thought the defence, North's defensive mechanisms were quite similar, but we just improved our ability to find time and space through the middle and use and make the right decision going forward.
How pleased have you been with
Yeah, Faz has, he's put two games in succession now and played the way that we're looking for all our forwards to play, putting good pressure on and taking his chances when they come.
I believe Wyatt Greenwood back in the VFL this week, I believe. Is it 1 week for him? What does he need? A sustained period in the VFL before he jumps straight back?
Yeah, we'll work that out as he goes along. He won't play a full game. Neither will Darcy Moore, who comes back this week, assuming they get through the training week well. I think by the time we get to the weekend, we'll have 39 fit players to choose from. So that's a good position to be in. Utopia has every player at 100% fitness 100% of the time. But we know that when you're playing an elite game, you're on the edge more often than not. And you're very rarely going to have 100% choice on your list, but we're in as good a shape as we've been for 4 years, and that's a positive sign. It's something that we've got right going forward, that that if we put the right work in, that we can take advantage of.
Do you think it's safe to say if you've got 39 players available in end of August, you'll be top eight position?
No, it's if it was just about rolling out numbers of players, well then you wouldn't be able to find a differential between top team, bottom team. So it's obviously what we do with that. The physical status is one part, and the mental and emotional status and the connection with each other is the major part, and how close we go into playing good team footy. But the physical stuff helps when boys are up and about, and when there's competition for spots. That creates its own challenges, but they're good ones.
Is your skipper playing in a bit of discomfort at the moment?
Constantly. He's always got someone dagging him or someone trying to stop him having the impact that he continues to have. But no, I mean, physically he's not at 100%, and none of our players are.
What do you make of the discussion, Bucks, that he had a similar perhaps shoulder issue to Gary Edwards? Gary's obviously resting his, but Edwards is playing under perhaps 2 weeks.
I don't really have much to add to that other than Pendles has done pretty well to be in the position that he's in.
Mid-season rule change with the wide tackle interpretation. Some people say it's a knee-jerk reaction, others say it's the right change. What's your take on it as a coach?
Yeah, it's. I don't know exactly what it'll change. Potentially, in the ball winner's mind around how am I going to exit this scrimmage, because now that the responsibility to get the ball out from a possession perspective, a disposal perspective, is on the ball carrier, and if they lead with their head, they've lost prior opportunity. So it is another layer. I mean, I'm an advocate for sitting tight and letting the game evolve. There's no doubt that the players, the ball winner leading with their head out of contests, came about from the law change in 07 protecting the head, and it was a no-brainer that eventually more ball winners were going to exit scrimmage with their head first to try and draw free kicks. And we've seen it more and more and more, and now we're trying to do something about it. So it's been a fair lag period between the first rule, and then 18 months ago we tried to remedy it, and then we're having another crack at it now. I just feel for the umps. I think it's so difficult to adjudicate, so they've an interpretation shift. Is it's good that they've communicated and that's their intention, and we'll see how it plays out.
Are you concerned that the more rule interpretation changes that we make every 6, 12, 18 months, there's going to be more reactions to players, more reactions to players, more rule changes?
Yeah, well, the game's pretty hard to adjudicate. I think it's really hard. The ruck rule at the moment, some of the free kicks in the ruck rules, the whistle goes and we're sort of looking and go, okay, where's that, which way is that going to go? I mean, you don't like that. And I don't think fans like that. Coaches don't like it. Players don't like it. And interpretations shift from time to time. So all this is a refocus. This is a refocus on, it's potentially rule of the week type thing. But it is about player safety. It has always been the head high contact. And the idea is to get the ball-winning player to stop putting himself at danger by driving with his head at the oncoming tackler. So I think from a medical standpoint, from a well-being perspective for the players, it's worth having that conversation. I don't think it's going to harm the way the game's played.
The top coach, how do you coach him this week? Do you get in the room, bring up some vision, or do you do it on the track? How does it work practically?
Keep doing what you're doing, and keep driving for gaps on your way out of scrimmage. I wouldn't coach it much differently at all.
The Thomas Melksham one that's been shown quite often, though, it's the right change, isn't it? We don't want to see players getting free kicks for that. I mean, it's making it almost impossible for the tackler to get any lower.
Yeah, and if in that instance, if Lindsay Thomas handballs the ball out after that, then it's play on. But if the tackle's reckless still, well, then it's a free kick still to Thomas. So the onus, the threat I see is that the onus is going on both the tackler to tackle well and not in a reckless manner, and the ball carrier to understand that if he leads with his head, that he's lost his prior opportunity. And I think that's fair. It's fair to make that really clear. And I think, yes, the ball carrier should test the tackler, but the tackler should be given fair opportunity to tackle.
Have you given much thought about Lumumba returning, your old mate Lumumba, returning the facey guys again? There can be a lot of banter with the boys, text messages with his former teammates.
Don't know. You'll have to ask them. The boys, H has been a big part of the footy club for a long time. 199 games of footy was a significant contributor to the premiership in 2010 and the growth of the footy club throughout. I've been rapt to see him settle and play some pretty good footy, especially early for the Demons. But yeah, I'm sure he's I'm sure his teammates will get around him and they'll have the normal banter, but it's the way that the league is these days, invariably there's a player that used to play for the other team in every team, so it's something we're used to.
What sort of reception do you think you'll get from the Collingwood fans? I mean, I think we all knew Ryan Griffin would be booed last weekend, the way he left the Bulldogs. But what sort of reaction do you think Heredia will get?
Well, now that you're putting it on the table, probably a different one to the natural reaction. Hopefully it'll be respectful.
What have you made of the D's of fluctuations in form? Is it hard to get a bead on what to expect?
I think it's, as we were just saying about momentum, I mean, some sides have been up and down at various times, and really it's the trying to find the median level for that has the ladder where it is at the moment. Melbourne have played some really strong, hard contested football, been really, really impressed with some of their youth coming through, Vandenberg, Brayshaw. Tumpus is playing better footy now, starting to grow into himself. Hogan coming in at that front half, Pedersen, who's played particularly well over the last couple of weeks, so, and a really strong back six led by McDonald, who's in all Australian form. So they've got a lot of weapons that they're continuing to build and evolve. But as you said, their best footy's been pretty good there. On the other side, they've allowed the opposition scores not dissimilar to where we've been. So we're not taking anything for granted. We'll be preparing for their best.
Queen's birthday is always a huge match on their calendar.
And ours. It's a big game. I mean, the challenge with this fixture for coaches and players alike is to get through the weekend, having watched 8 games of footy. So we'll taper our preparation so that we hit Monday afternoon, with great intensity. The start's going to be important. Our main session will be on Saturday morning training, and we'll make sure that we get some work in around ourselves rather than Melbourne in these next 2 or 3 days to continue to improve our game and how we want to play it.
Nathan, just on Matt Schoenberg, when do you judge that he's ready to play? Is it problematic in that sense?
Yeah.
To pinpoint exactly when he's going to play?
No, he's playing. at senior level. Yeah, well, it's like there's so many things that go into that. One is the player and whether their form's good enough at VFL level, physically, whether they're ready to stand up to the rigours of an AFL game, and probably most predominant right now is are there blokes playing that role well at senior level? And that they all come into the mix, but you know, right now it's great to see that Shaz has had some consistent footy, first time for the best part of, you know, 2.5 years, given he missed a lot of his last under 18s year. So it's he's enjoying his footy. You know, the VFL have had 4 wins on the trot and he's been a part of that, and we've seen growth in him week on week. He's pulling up better. So he's heading in the right direction.
Oh, is it just on
Yeah, well, given where our list is at, is no different to 17 other clubs. You're always looking to make it better. So we, that's a part of our program. It's a part of what we need to consider, not just what we're doing this afternoon, but what we're doing next week, next month, next year, 5 years. So that's a part of the conversations that we have.
It's becoming a bit of a regular reoccurrence after goals and set of bounds where the bounces are good. We have to have a recall. It takes an extra few seconds off the clock. Do you think there should be a change in that? Just limit it, maybe just the bounce at the start of quarters?
I think they threw it up from the start in our game on the weekend. Is that right?
I think it went up
straight away. I like the bounce. I don't mind it at centre bounce in particular. So, but I think the biggest argument is, does that discount really good decision-making umpires from being at the level because they struggle to get that one skill right? With 3 umpires on the ground, I think you can work around that. Just get your best bouncer doing the bounces and get guys, just like we do in the footy team, play the role that suits you. But no, I don't mind the centre bounce.
Is it silly that we're getting to a point where if there's 6 or 7 of them in a game, you can miss 20 to 30 seconds and just waste it?
It's not sort of right up on my list of priorities at the moment, mate. Yeah, sorry, I don't have a real strong opinion on that either way. Sorry, I'm still thinking about it. Go again, mate.
So you think
like
the second half itself can be a baseline for the rest of the season in terms of the intensity you showed?
Oh, yeah, look, yeah, we hope so. I hope so. Much prefer that half than the first half. I reckon our trajectory's going in the right direction. You know, we feel, and this is without the wins and losses taken into account, which is clearly what you end up judging every team on, you know, as we go through the season. But you're having a look at the general trend and what sort of footy you're seeing us play. I mean, I can see that we're heading in the right direction, but then take that aside, the way that our players are approaching their footy, the professionalism they've shown in here, their balance of care and demand on each other internally, to drive each individual to their best, but to also support them really strongly as well. We've got great growth in that, and we're continuing to tip into that, and we want to build on that. So what you see on the field week in, week out, we think that's building, and we think we're finding out what we're capable of. But really, in my view, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. We need to keep digging and finding our best footy and our best preparation, and the profile of our group suggests that if we have the right attitude, that we'll continue to build that month on month over this year and then year on year over the next, you know, 5 or 6.
When have you made his 20s start to the year?
It's been pretty strong, yeah. I mean, he's honest. He's honest as the day's long, Swanny. Putrid was the word that he used, and he doesn't mind throwing himself under a bus, but I mean, part of that was to highlight that he wasn't happy with his season last year. He had a lot of off-season surgery and had a really slow start to the to his preseason, a late start to his preseason. So we expect him to get stronger as the season progresses. But he's shown that he's a smart player. If he's got blokes that are playing really strong roles around him, we're going to see him use that smarts to our advantage.
Statistically, there's a lot more depth in your forward line. It's been in 2015, it's been shared a lot more with your forwards, and there's less of a reliance on Clokey. Do you think that was, did you do that intentionally, or do you think it's just because Jamie Elliott's matured and Jesse White is becoming a key factor as well?
Yeah, I think it's more than just that too. I think we in our 2010 premiership year, Clokey kicked less goals than he did last year. So it's not just about how many goals Travis Cloke kicks. It's about the spread of offensive threats. And it's also about the way we move the ball from our back half. I think you've got to be hard to defend, and you've got to have multiple threats in the forward half of the ground. So Trav's still that. Jamie Elliott continues on his really strong form from last year, and we missed him for the last 5 rounds of last year, I believe. Jesse White's playing his role. Faz back in the side has added another dimension for us. Jared Blair's been hitting scoreboard and especially kicking goals under the crunch. Still side bottom back in the side adds to our scoring power. Jack Crispin hitting the scoreboard semi-regularly. Pendle's going forward at times, Swanee. So yeah, we believe that we'll continue to develop. And our two big boys kicked our first 2 goals, Brody and Jared on the weekend kicked our first 2 goals in a low-scoring first half for us. So, I think we're ranked 3rd for offence at the moment, and we'll continue to try and build on that. And it won't be based on one bloke or another. It'll be based on the whole team.
Will you be bringing back Ben Reid into the side next week?
Next week would be a little bit early, I would have thought. He played three quarters on the weekend, and still, really, we're not putting any pressure on Reedy at all. He's just got a couple of weeks into our bye to consolidate his physical status and his form. He played really well on the weekend. It's the best footy he's played all year. But right now, we still want to see him get physically robust, and then the form comes after that. The width of the boundary line.
All good.